Amen. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 said, neither is there salvation in any other. None other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Well, I feel the anointing of the Holy Ghost here tonight. Amen. He's here. Praise God. He's here to give us some great things in this service. Been looking forward to this for a while. And I was talking to Brother Meyer just a while ago. Sister Vicky got him on the phone for me there. And talking to him. And I said, well, the Lord's raising you up. God's not through with you. I can tell you that. Amen. You got a ministry in this end time hour. And God knows we need those that are sticking with the truth and the end time truth in this hour to be ready to do whatever he wants us to do. Amen. We might be down for a little while, but Lord willing, the revival, probably give the testimony in one of the messages of how I was down for weeks with that ankle and leg. And it was a total miracle that God brought me out of that. It was a miracle. But anyway, that's another story. But it's good to be here tonight. And I'm going to begin reading some scriptures. We certainly, of course, miss Brother Meyer, Sister Meyer. But if we're able to help him, to be here and help y'all, it's what we want. Amen. We need to help one another. And I told him, I said, well, I've really been burdened for you, Brother Meyer, because when you hurt, I hurt. The Bible said bearing one another's burdens, Sister Vicki. Amen. So I'm going to tell you what, we're all a part of the body of Christ. And being all a part of the body of Christ, when one member hurts, sometimes it makes a lot of other members ache in your own physical body. You know what I mean? But it's good to be here. We love and appreciate you. And I'm going to begin reading Proverbs 11:11. If you want to turn to that very quickly, you don't have to, but if you want to, we're going to use that for at least a springboard tonight and probably for a title or whatever here. And we want to do the will of the Lord, fulfill the will of the Lord in His service tonight. And I believe God has dealt with me about this message. You know, I don't want to just hear some fancy sermons. I want to hear from God. Amen. Amen. There's a difference in a sermon and a message. A sermon fit anybody, anywhere. But a message from God is different. Amen. Amen. I want to do what he said in Revelation. Let the Spirit, amen, speak to the church. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And I want to be in that place tonight, don't you? Proverbs 11:11, by the blessing of the upright, the city is exalted, but it is overthrown by the mouth of the wicked. Psalm 67, in conjunction with that, Psalm 67:5-7, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. Didn't say might, didn't say could, said shall. Shall means positively, must be, has to be. The seventh verse, he repeats it. God shall bless us, and all the ends of the earth shall fear him. From that, I want to talk about, we'll pick it up in Ezekiel in a few moments, Lord willing, but I want to entitle this tonight, Showers of Blessing. Showers of Blessing. Notice he didn't say a torrential downpour blessing, but he said showers of blessing. Amen. We'll read that in Ezekiel here in just a little while, like I said. But in Genesis chapter 12, verse 3, God spoke to Abraham. He said, I'm going to bless him that bless you. I'm going to curse him that curseth you. And get what he said. And thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Now think about it. Paul picked it up in Galatians 3:14 when he said that the blessings of Abraham should come upon the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we should receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Then he summed it up in Galatians chapter 3, verse 29, when he said, if you're Christ, then you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. God promised Abraham he was going to bless his seed. And he wasn't just talking about natural Israel. They were the literal seed, but we're the spiritual seed. Amen. That was literal Israel. We're spiritual Israel. That was a natural Jew. We're the spiritual Jew, the body of Jesus Christ. We talk about the blessings. Proverbs 10:22 said, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. I'm glad for those exceeding great and precious promises, aren't you? hold that. We're going to be talking about showers of blessing. And believe me, we're going to need them more. Not that we haven't needed them up till tonight. We're going to need them more in the days and weeks or whatever we have left upon this earth than we've ever needed them those showers of blessing in our life. I have an article. I'm going to read you a little bit here concerning the hour that we're living in. And of course, the major situation right now is the economy in America, and not only America, but the world. It's not just America, but it is going worldwide. Gary North wrote this, "On Judgment Day, nobody has any choice in the matter." Now, he's talking about preparing for financial Judgment Day. See, America's lived high on the hog for the last at least 4 decades. And the American people have enjoyed, I'm talking about the middle class and upper class, have enjoyed what they call the good life. But a lot of them, since the last, since 07 strong up until now, many of them realize their good life's gone. Tent cities are everywhere, all around the major cities and other places. I'm talking about hundreds and thousands of people living in tents made out of bed sheets or whatever that have lost everything. These were not originally homeless people. They're homeless now. Some of them were executives. Some of them had 6-digit figures of income, but now they're reduced to nothing. They lost their position and consequently lost their houses, their automobiles, everything, and they're stripped to nothing. And I want to show you what one preacher said about that a few years ago, buddy. He hit it right on the head. But Gary North said on Judgment Day, talking about financial Judgment Day, nobody has any choice in the matter. And Judgment Day is approaching fast. Now, he wrote this a few years ago. I want you to listen to what these men said. And they were not prophesying. They seen what was coming in the natural. And how much more should not you and I see it through the Spirit of God? Plus what's happening in the natural. All right? He said a lot of investors who think they're headed for financial heaven are headed in the opposite direction. I think we know where that is. Right? Those who want to avoid this result had better take steps while they can. The night cometh. I don't have a date on that, but it was written a few years ago. Believe me, he knew what he's talking about. List what Greenspan, previous Fed chairman, said. And I quote his words. He made comments that this financial crisis is as bad as the time during World War II. And this is what this man says. These are serious times. This is not sensationalism, survivalist rhetoric, or end times religious chatter. This is reality. You know, years ago when you talked about the economy crashing and the dollar crashing, which is going to real soon, all that, we know that now. But years ago when you said that, people looked at you like you're something to be auctioned off. But I'll tell you what, most of them realize what we're facing in this hour ain't good. And whether they know God or not, they know something's not right. And if they can't see it all around them, they're blind. And if we can't see what's happening in the natural and the spiritual, we're also blind. Jeremiah 6:10, God spoke through Jeremiah and said, "To whom shall I speak and give warning that they may hear?" Good question, isn't it? "Behold, their ear is uncircumcised." This is what it said. "And they cannot hearken." He didn't say they would not hearken. He said they cannot hearken. "Behold, the word of the Lord is to them a reproach, and they have no delight in it." Where are we at in the United States of America? Listen to this, another writer, what he said. I'm going to go through this very quickly, get back to the scripture. It all started in the mid-1990s, when Alan Greenspan, the Fed, and Wall Street teamed up to create the multi-trillion dollar U.S. stock market bubble. Think about it. All a setup. You know, talk about the houses. What now? Does anybody have today's statistics or this week's? Over 2 million empty houses. I know that. Probably a lot more. I don't know right now. That's figures a few months back or whatever. And you think of the setup, though. Back in 70, 71, 72, those years, traveling, I saw the billboards in almost every state I traveled in. "We will loan you 125% value of your house." In other words, if it's worth $70,000, they'll give you 25% more than that and loan it to you. People went nuts. They ate it up. And you know what they did? They put out all they took in all those loans on the house, got that extra money, and guess what? Put it in stock markets and gambling. And consequently, they've lost it all. That's why they're losing their houses. They can't afford them. When you lose your job, when you lose your position, how are you going to afford $1,500, $2,000 a month payment on a house? Forget it, you're not. It's that simple. I've been teaching for years, folks, to people, get out of debt, if any way, get out of debt. But very few listen. Amen. But I'll tell you what, I'd rather face what we're facing in the natural out of debt than I would in debt head over heels, wouldn't you? Okay, listen to what he said. He said, the multi-trillion, it's quite a bit of money, U.S. stock market bubble, he called it, mid-1990s, okay? Pumping trillions of dollars of liquidity into the U.S. financial system, in part to avert a recession. That bubble burst, as all financial bubbles ultimately do. In March 2000, and over the next 30 months, stocks imploded, erasing $8 trillion in wealth and almost half of the retirement portfolios of 65 million American households. Wow. That was 2001, 2, and 3, those years. Then it really began to get bad in 07, you know that, and increased greatly in 08, 09, now where we're at tonight. Listen to what he said. The U.S. economy was in grave danger of tanking, he called it falling into recession or worse, as consumer confidence and spending begin to plunge. Well, we know what's happened in the last 3 years alone. Now, I'm going to read you what a preacher said, and I'll give you his name after I read it. I abstract it from his book in 1998. In other words, the book was written, published in 1998. Now, I'm going to show you what he says. And this man, I'll give you his name in just a moment, but I have probably every book he published, three or four of them, whatever, through the years. Y'all might have had the book, Set the Trumpet to Your Mouth. I'm going to tell you, this guy's not in the whole truth. But he's on target as far as hearing from God, I can promise you that. Because much of what he wrote years ago, we've seen come to pass. Now, you don't have to be a prophet to look at some things in the natural and see where they're going. I mean, all you got to do is just open your eyes and consider the facts. Listen to what he said. Again, written 1998. Yet I believe God has an even greater grief over his church today. I ask you, as he beholds his children right now, that's 12 years ago or over, what does he see? He sees the people who fret and worry about maintaining their lifestyle. Many believers today have grown indifferent and apathetic to the things of God. Well, that's the truth. Instead, they become wrapped up in worldly activities, get it, and material pursuits. Other than greed, selfishness, greed, what would make you, if you have a house paid down real good where you could handle it, would you want to go out and get 25% more of a loan on the house than what it's worth and put yourself in such a indebtment? And I'm telling you, most all of them that did that has lost it all. That's why they're losing their houses. Gamble on the stock market? Well, you know what's happened to it and what will happen to it eventually. Gambling boats? What a joke. Anybody thinks they're come out a winner gambling, that'd be one in probably millions. They'll usually, if they do win something, turn around, blow it all back, and lose it all again. Amen. But listen to what this preacher says. They have no time to seek him with their whole heart. Some even pray for revival selfishly, wanting God to be appeased so he won't take away their prosperity. Isn't that amazing? He sees his children worrying about Social Security, retirement funds, mortgage payments, investments. He sees them full of anxiety and fear, as if their survival depends on their ingenuity and wisdom or upon the good faith of the government. Okay, listen to this last paragraph. But all of this is about to change. In 1998, things looked pretty good as far as the economy. But this man had an insight somewhere in God. He knew what he's talking about. But all of this is about to change. The fact is, the global economic breakdown, incidentally, it's not just America, it is global now. In 2008, China closed some 87,000 businesses, factories, whatever. They laid off 8 to 10 million workers, China alone. It happened in Iceland. Iceland declared government bankruptcy. I mean, all those nations. I mean, Australia, Philippines, name it. And they're all in a financial mess as far as the government. Do you realize something right now? And I'll get off of this. But someone said the other day, well, when I was a boy, I could buy a loaf of bread for a dime. True. But it was a silver dime, and you can probably buy two loaves for that same dime tonight. So what's happened? Why do you have to pay $2, $3, $4 for a good loaf of bread? Not the baker's making a fortune. The dollar is going down. And when it does, everything goes up. And it's going up. You can't help it. The dollar's soon to crash. It's over. They propped it up. It would have crashed a long time ago if they hadn't kept propping it up. You know that, and printing trillions of worthless paper to try to keep things going. But somewhere, like he said, this bubble is going to burst. All right? So the preacher said, but all this is about to change. The fact is, the global economic breakdown is happening for a very specific purpose. God is about to take his church into a wilderness of testing to strip away our human reserves and make us wholly dependent on him. Wow. Truer words were never spoken. That was written in a book I had of the coming economic crash or meltdown or whatever the title was about our economy by David Wilkerson. That was who said that in that book. And believe me, like I said, right on target. Hallelujah. So let us go back to the scripture here. And the Bible said in Psalms 67, 5 through 7, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. We read that a while ago. I'm giving it to you again. Verse 7, again he said, God shall bless us. He's not talking to the world. He's not talking to them who don't know him. He's talking to his people right here. And I promise you one thing. There's many, many, many scriptures in the Bible that tell what God's going to do us, to for us and to us and with us all the way up to the end. It's all through the Bible. Every time he turns the spotlight on world events, fulfilling wars, rumors of wars, famines, pests, and whatever, he turns the spotlight back on the church. When you shall hear of wars, murmurs of wars, be not troubled. I mean, every place he writes, he brings it back to the church. You know, in the book of Revelation, what, 14:12, he's turned a spotlight on the church right there. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Right in the midst of the worst, he says, here's what I'm going to do for the church. I'm telling you, folks, I thank God for those showers of blessing. And I'm going to need them more every day, every week, every month from whatever we have left on planet Earth and here in America from now on till it's over. Believe me. Amen. Because the good times, they call it, for a lot of people are already gone. Not going to be gone. They're already gone for millions of people. Amen. And it's going to get worse in the natural. It certainly won't get better. But I'm glad I'm serving a God that in the church is going to get better, not worse. I'm glad I'm on the inside looking out, not on the outside looking in, aren't you? Hallelujah. Amen. Psalm 66. Let me read these very quickly. 16 through 20. Come and hear, all ye that fear God. See, he's talking to those that love him, fear him. And I will declare what he had done for my soul. Here's a writer saying, come and hear, all ye that fear God. And I will declare what he had done for my soul. Every one of us here tonight, if we have the Holy Ghost, been baptized in the great name of Jesus Christ, I'm going to tell you what. We can declare what God has done for our soul. Amen. We wasn't born into this earth with wings on our shoulders. Praise God. One pastor was preaching pretty hard one time. This one lady come up and she's reading his epitaph. Said, I have you know one thing and this and that and other. And something come up about angels. And he told her, he said, I hadn't seen any angels' wings on you lately. Praise God. Amen. Well, I'll tell you what. God said throughout the scripture, he's going to bless us in this end time hour. I cried unto him with my mouth, and he was extolled with my tongue. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. But verily, God hath heard me. I like that. God hath heard me. Whether we feel like he has or he hadn't, he hears us according to the word of God. Proverbs 15:29, the Lord is far from the wicked, but he heareth the prayer of the righteous. 1 Peter 3:12, the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open to their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. John chapter 9, verse 31, we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God, loves him, worshiper of God, him he heareth. See, when you pray and you don't feel like going nowhere, just start quoting those scriptures. Amen. Because God's hearing you while they feel, if you're not regarding iniquity in your heart, that is, he's hearing your prayer. And I know some days you just bombard heaven. Other days it don't seem really that great. You ever notice that? Takes a little more pressing. Amen. To get past the flesh barrier or whatever. Amen. So the writer is saying, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Well, that's awesome. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor his mercy from me. That should be every one of our attitudes toward God tonight. Amen. There shall be showers of blessing. Didn't say there might be. We'll read that in just a few moments. Got a little ahead of myself, but you're going to find out when we read it. Didn't say might be, could be. Shall. Let me show you something here very quickly. Sometimes God hides himself. Isaiah knew it. The psalmist knew it. Isaiah 45:15, verily thou art a God that hidest thyself. O God of Israel, the Savior. The Bible says that sometimes in our lives, God hides himself. And there's a reason. There is a reason why. James chapter 1 verse 3 said, the trying of your faith worketh patience. The trying of your faith worketh patience. Now, Isaiah said, verily, thou art a God that hidest thyself. The psalmist said, Psalms 89, 46, 47, how long, Lord, wilt thou hide thyself forever? Wow. Shall thy wrath burn like fire? Remember how short my time is. Wherefore hast thou made all men in vain? Well, he's thinking kind of negative here. Writing kind of negative, isn't he? But the point is, God, where are you? How many of us felt that way before? Whether we said it or not, we felt it. That's right. God, will you hide yourself forever? No, he won't. See, I know when that time comes, it looks like God has hidden himself from me. I know there's a great blessing just around the corner. That's why God talked about showers of blessing. Brother Mark Hamby preached a message years ago, the loneliness between the miracles. Hallelujah. Amen. But I promise you, God doesn't hide himself forever. But he does sometimes in our lives hide himself. And you walk then, according to 2 Corinthians 5:7, you walk by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. That's a time you walk by faith, not by sight. That's why Hebrews 11 verse 1 said, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things what? Not seen. One man explained it this way, that is, you reach out by faith, get a hold of nothing, and hold on to it to become something. Good explanation, I guess, huh? Praise God. But I'll tell you what, God has exceeding great and precious promises, according to 2 Peter 1:4, for the church of the living God. And I'm trying to claim every promise that God has for me in the word of the living God. Amen. Let's read some more scriptures here. In the book of Psalms again, 30, verses 5 through 8, chapter 30. For his anger endureth but a moment. Now what happens after God has hidden himself? There are several scriptures in the Bible that talk about waiting upon the Lord. We quote Isaiah 40:31 all the time, right? They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength, mount up like eagles, all that. But there's other scriptures in there. It talks about waiting upon the Lord. And in this generation, that's the hardest thing for a person to do. Because we're in a quick food generation, a quick this and quick that, quick everything. You don't believe it? When the light changes to green, just sit there for a few seconds. They'll be blowing the horn a mile back if they're that far behind you. Praise God. Everybody's in a hurry. Everybody, quick, quick this, quick that. And it comes into our lives in the church if we don't watch it. God, look, I want it like yesterday. But some things we get from the Lord, we're going to have to wait by faith and wait patiently on him. And the psalmist, again, I'm going to read the rest of 30, but in Psalm 73, 2 and 3, but as for me, my feet were almost gone. My steps had well nigh slipped. Why? For I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Wow. Verse 12, behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Kind of hard, but a lot of people understand that, isn't it? Well, the writer was no different. But what happened? 16 or 17. When I thought to know this, it was too painful for me until I went into the sanctuary. We can be out there fighting devils, rubbing shoulders with all kinds of opposition and everything, negative, whatever. But when we come into the sanctuary, Sister Vicki, thank God, we come into His house and begin to worship Him and feel that peace and that anointing of God begin to flow through the service. Amen. Then we can feel, oh boy, praise God. Amen. The victory is here. Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I understood their end. Hallelujah. We're not just living for things in the carnal and things in the natural. But what we have goes beyond this walk of life. Hallelujah. So the psalmist said, for His anger endureth but a moment. In His favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy cometh in the morning. When it looks like God has hidden Himself, just tighten up your spiritual belt and say, I know this. I may be going through it right now, but the greatest blessing is just ahead of me. The greatest time of my walk with God is right before me. That's the only way you can look at it. God's not a man that He should lie. Son of man, He should repent. What He said in here is more than able to perform. Amen. And I'm going to tell you what. He'll hide Himself sometime, but not forever. Amen. Amen. And usually not very long. Trying of your faith worketh patience. But listen to what He said. In my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. You want to know how God can try you to really know if you love Him? I'm talking about us, everybody. In churches? Well, don't bring, and He does, tribulation and trials. Bring prosperity. That'll show you who loves God and who doesn't. Because them that don't, they'll be out there blowing and going. Forget God. That's why Solomon said in his writings one time, Lord, feed me with food convenient for me. Remember? Amen. Feed me with food convenient for me. In other words, don't give me so much I can't stand it, lest I take the name of the Lord in vain. And please don't let me get in a starving condition unless I take the name of the Lord in vain. That's what He said. Solomon said in Proverbs. Amen. Just feed me with food convenient for me. 1 Timothy chapter 6 said, with food and raiment, let us therewith be content. How many Americans can be content with that? Food and clothing. Very few, huh? But I'm going to tell you what. There's a lot of them right now that's content. They're just alive, I reckon, because like I said, they're living in bedsheet tents. I'm talking about by the tens of thousands all over America. And it gets worse every week, every month, every year. And I'm going to tell you what, I'm glad God is my provider. Amen. I am glad that God promised me, and I'm holding to every promise He gave me in the Word of God. Lord, by Thy favor, Thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Thou didst hide Thy... Oh, there it is again. Thou didst hide Thy face, and I was troubled. I cried unto Thee, O Lord, and to the Lord I made supplication. Hallelujah. Now, where I took my title from before reading the scripture, Ezekiel 34, 25 and 26. And I will make with them a covenant of peace, and will cause the evil beasts to cease out of the land, and they that dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Shall dwell safely in the wilderness and sleep in the woods. Verse 26. And I will make them and the places round about my hill a blessing. And I will cause the shower to come down in his season. There shall, not might be, could be, would be, there shall be showers of blessing. And that's what I took my title from. There shall be showers. Remind yourself, not torrential downpours. Not those downpours, I mean, every breath you take. But it's going to be showers of blessing. And God knows exactly what He's doing. Believe me. I was teaching last night, got to finish it tomorrow night, Lord willing, at Kakona Church. And when I get into a message sometime, I begin to realize real quick it's going to take two services. You know, after being in the ministry so many years, being full-time for 39 years in June, will be our anniversary, then, you know, you just feeling after the Lord, you can just know things even before they happen. You've been through it so much, and through the Spirit, you can realize, you know, there's going to be a two-service message out of all this. And so as I was teaching him last night about God taking care of us in all types of situations. Now, I remember when we were in California preaching, and it was back when they had those, Clinton was president at that time, it's been years back. But if you remember the flooding that hit that place, in fact, is Clinton made his debut out there, if you remember, and visited some of those places. Well, I didn't know it was that bad. We flew out there and flew into San Francisco, I believe it was. And Pastor picked us up, and buddy, it was rough. I'm telling you, it was rough. He was in West Sacramento. I guess we flew into the Sacramento airport, I believe. But he was in West Sacramento. And, of course, the Sacramento River at that time was ready to go over its banks. Well, the situation was there was a bend in the river right west of where he lived and the church was, West Sacramento. And, of course, the river was like on a levee. And they predicted for one of those levees to break. And they didn't know where. And the pastor thought, well, since the pressure of that water is pushing right west of us, where it bends, where the river bends, you know, the dike, all that bends. And he said, Brother Lance, if that thing breaks, instantly, we're under 20 feet of water here where we're at. Instantly. What happens if you sleep at 2 o'clock in the morning? You won't live to see daylight unless God perform a miracle. That's right. That was El Nino time that brought most of that in. Now they're predicting this certain night, now they don't predict, let me put it this way, they're saying, in El Nino, you don't predict, you know what's coming, okay? But I'm serving the God that changes things. And they said 8 more inches tonight, 8 more inches of rain El Nino's bringing in here. Well, we knew, ain't no way that river could stand 8 more inches of rain. You can forget it. Everything's fixing to blow. Well, the pastor said, Brother Lance, would you mind if we go up on the higher elevation and get a motel? And I said, Brother, whatever you want to do. But he didn't, for whatever reason. We stayed in the house. But I'm going to tell you something. That stinking devil tried to bring a fear on me in that little bedroom where I was staying. But I had a prayer meeting before I went to sleep. And I had a prayer meeting that touched God. And when I felt relief and felt positive about it, I got in that bed and went to sleep. Slept 8 hours, probably 7, 8 hours, whatever it was. And the next day, I found out something. El Nino came in all right, but all it did was a few splattering big drops of rain that kept on going. Hallelujah. I'm telling you. You know, the night before that, we was at church, it was supposed to hit that night, and we was at church, went in the vestibule, and you could feel fear in that place. And I asked those saints, I said, y'all ever thought about praying about this? God don't, he don't get any glory out of our fear. I'm going to tell you, fear will try to come on you in certain instances, but you don't have to live with it. We got the power and the victory in the Holy Ghost, the power of the name of Jesus Christ, to get victory over those things. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And I know when God gives me a witness, I got victory over it. So I can lay down and go to sleep in bed. I don't worry about it. If I didn't, I might set up and wait. I don't know. But I know one thing, when God confirms it and you feel it as a witness, everything's going to be fine. I remember the hurricane, back 04 maybe, 2004. I don't remember the name. There have been so many. We live 90 miles north of New Orleans. When I'm home, hardly ever live. We got a house there at least. But that hurricane was coming in. I was here at Brother Hubert's when it come in. And they predicted right into New Orleans. It was holding a straight course. Well, I went down. I stayed in the basement bedroom at that time. And I went to that bedroom that afternoon. The wife had called some different ones. And I got a hold of God. I prayed. And I felt the witness. I felt the confirmation of the Holy Ghost. But I didn't worry about it. It's not going to hit New Orleans. They already had evacuated over 1 million people out of New Orleans because it's heading straight in. But it changed its course. went into Mobile, Alabama area. Hallelujah. Said, thank you, Jesus. Praise God. See, the Lord gave us that authority. He gave us those words that we can speak in faith. A lot of people don't realize that. They don't even realize what they have. And I'm going to tell you what, in Jesus Christ, we have the power of authority. What did he mean in John 14:12 when he said, "The works that he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." Now why'd he say that if he didn't mean it? By the same authority as he spoke to trees, dead bodies, demons, the wind, the sea, we have the same authority to speak. What did he tell us? Speak to this mountain. Speak to this sycamine tree. Speak by faith to the object. That's exactly what he said. And we've seen it happen so many, many times in our almost 40 years full time of traveling around America and the world. We have seen it. We've seen God change typhoons in the Philippines, change the course. Typhoon Rita, 1978. We was beaten out. I mean, they put us through the mill first time in the Philippines. I didn't know what it was all about then. But I'm telling you what I found out later, that missionary put us through a lot of unnecessary torment. He was trying to impress on us how tough it was in the Philippines. We didn't have to impress anything. Just being there is tough compared to our style and lifestyle in America. So we'd been through it. And at this time, I had swollen legs, cracked ribs. We're getting ready to fly off the island of Negros and go back into Manila. And the next day out of Manila, fly home to America. And we got on this little plane there in that little town in the Philippines to fly to Manila. And like I said, man, I had cracked ribs. My legs were swollen. I felt like I'd been drugged through a knot hole backwards. And they give you a newspaper and a glass of water on the domestic airlines in the Philippines. So they gave us this newspaper. And I turned it over, and the dark black headline said, "The eye of Typhoon Rita going into Manila." I punched my brother Buddy, and I said, "That's where we're going?" I said, "Let me tell you something. What I've been through these last 2 weeks, I'm not fixing to face the eye of a typhoon." Of course, we call them hurricanes here, typhoons there. And I said, "I don't know what you're going to do, Brother Loving. I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to pray and believe God to change the course of that typhoon." We did, and he did. He changed the eye 150 miles south of Manila. Hallelujah. So I know what God will do. It's not what think he'll do. I know what he'll do. And if no other reason, never did anything for me, by the word of God, those promises he gave them to us. Right. Amen. Gave them to us. Deuteronomy 33:27. The eternal God is thy refuge. And underneath are the everlasting arms. I'm glad I can trust in those everlasting arms. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'm glad that I can trust in those everlasting arms. The eternal God is thy refuge. I am glad I have a refuge tonight. What we're facing, I don't look at that. I mean, I understand it. I try to keep up with it, of all the current events that's going on in the world. And thank God Brother Meyer does too. Thank God for a few men, there's not hardly any left, but a few that'll try to keep us in the place where we can be warned of what's coming and realize we can prepare ourselves for whatever by the power of the Holy Ghost in the name of Jesus Christ. So, irregardless of the situation, by experience and by the word of God, I know what God will do. He's raised me from death's door 5 times in my life. 5 times that I know of. Maybe others I did not recognize or know of. But 5 times I know of. And if he had not, I wouldn't be here to tell you about it, right? You only die once, right? But 5 times he delivered me from the jaws of death. So I'm glad I have those. The Bible said God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Everlasting arms. Not just arms during a revival. Not just arms during a camp meeting or church service. But everlasting arms that we can put our trust in. You know, there have been great miracles in my life. I'm going to try to get this on the downside. And I thank God for every one of them. I really do. What is it that God wouldn't do for us? I mean, spiritually, physically, financially, whatever. What is it he couldn't or wouldn't do? There's nothing. He'd do anything and everything. Mark 9:23, if thou canst believe, how many? All things are possible. to him that believeth. I was preaching Brother Hasper a few years ago in Hornell, New York. And they had one of these, you know, the big balloons they air up, you know, and they fly around in. Well, I'd never seen them air them up. And what it was out there at the fairgrounds, they're having on them balloon festivals of some kind. Well, the church set up a little booth, selling, you know, ice water and candy bars, or whatever it was. So I rode out there with Brother Hasper. He had a used van. In fact, it was an older caravan. Well, his daughter was sitting right behind us in a seat, and another one of his children back there. And about halfway there, this like 35 miles, I think, from his house to where that was set up. And we start smelling gasoline strong. Fact is, it got so strong that he had to roll down the windows for those children to breathe. It was bad. Well, we made it there, and I forgot about it. You know, I was watching them air up them balloons and lift them up and all that stuff. And I forgot about it. Well, by the time we started back, it's dark. Nighttime. And that gas smell was stronger. Of course, I realized something is wrong. So I'm sitting there praying. I said, God, whatever that situation is, I believe you to take care of it. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Gasoline starts pouring out of your vehicle. And it was coming somewhere. We didn't know where it was. But God let us get home, 35 miles, smelling that strong gasoline. Brother Hasper's son came in. He said, son, would you and your buddy there go out there and check that van? Said, we've smelled strong gasoline fumes from it. It's been terrible. He said, sure. So his buddy got behind the wheel and his son got under. He said, start it up. When he hit that start, he said, shut it off, shut it off. It's pouring gas all over the exhaust pipe and the muffler. Miracle? You got it. Miracle. 35, what's half of 35? Whatever it is, that's how many miles we drove smelling that gas pouring out on a hot exhaust pipe. And God never let it ignite. Can you imagine what happened if that thing blew? I'm serving an awesome God, folks. There shall be showers of blessing. We may face a trial tonight, but the blessing's coming tomorrow. There may be weeping tonight, but joy's coming in the morning. Hallelujah to God. Let's give the Lord a hand clap, church. Glory to God, we praise you, Father. Yay, God, yay, God, yay, God. He's worthy of all praise. Hallelujah. We're preaching on the financial blessing plans of God and paying our tithe, giving our offerings, what we can expect for it. We've taught a message on it for years, different places. And there was a brother that took it to heart to really get in and, you know, not only pay the tithe, but he took it in his own self to double up in his offerings to help the kingdom of God, you know. Well, God said in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, he would multiply our seed sowing. Didn't say add to it, but multiply, right? So he believed that. Now, it's strange how God works in different ways. It really is. And I learned a long time ago, I don't try to figure out how God's going to answer my prayer. They ain't no need in it because he don't do it that way anyway. You know, years ago, I'd say, okay, God, I got this need. And I'm thinking, okay, he's going to move here, he's going to move there. Never did move the way I thought. So the latter years, I just quit thinking and believing. And I just back up in faith and say, wow, I'm waiting to see how he does it. I don't even try to think anymore. That's right. Because he only did it the way I think anyway. You know, like a financial need. I've got a God that created $100 bills on the tree in your backyard if he wanted to. I'm serving a God that can rain them out of heaven if he wanted to. He's a creator of anything and all things. But you know, he's got his way of doing it. And that's just the way it is. So I just let him do it. So this brother, he's needing a financial blessing, really. And he's not just trying to make God a loan company or something, but he's doing it according to the word of God. Give and it shall be given unto you. How's it going to be given to you? Good measure pressed down, shaken together. Luke 6:38 said, and running over shall men give into your bosom. Usually that's how God does it. He uses mankind normally. He don't create $100 bills out of the air. He could. Normally he don't. Okay. If he did, it wouldn't surprise me. Praise God, because that's my God. So get this. This brother doubles up on his offerings. He's really giving the kingdom of God and a praying course and fasting and believing God. He goes to pay his truck payment at the bank. Coupon book, Teller looks it up, the computer, sir, you don't owe payment. The truck's paid for. He said, ma'am, oh, $18,000, $20,000, what it was. It's not paid for. She back again. Yes, sir, it's paid for. Fact is, I'll go get you the title. Well, some people think, well, that's dishonest, that's cheating. Now, wait a minute. If I can't talk someone out of the fact I owe them, there'll come a time I'll just shut up. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. He didn't tell anybody to erase it. He didn't sneak in there at night and bum puzzle the computer system. It vanished. Well, that's the way God works. He couldn't talk her into the fact, no, I owe so much on that. It's not paid off. She said, it is paid off. Well, maybe God moved on someone incognito to go in there and pay it off for him and didn't want no one to know who did it. I don't care how he does it. Had someone was facing a prison term. This has been, 4 or 5 years ago. They got their third DUI automatically, 6 months in jail, no questions asked. Automatically. Almost every state in America. And it sure was in Tennessee, Mississippi, down south. Third DUI, automatic, 6 months in jail. They was nervous, they was scared. I prayed, and God showed me something. I went to him and I said, I didn't know how he's going to do it, but God said, I'm not going to spend no time in jail. And I told him, I said, you go see a lawyer, attorney? I said, yeah, his name is Jesus Christ. He's my attorney. I don't know if they believe me or not, but my oldest daughter, Candy, and I went to that court that morning. When they went before the judge and they tapped into that computer, it only showed one DUI. And that, when it goes on computer, it goes nationwide. You know that. If you've got a DUI, they can pull it up in Alabama and it's on the computer. They can pull it up in New Mexico. It's on the computer. But God erased both of them. $25 fine, walked out of there. Now I know one thing. I know when I hear from God. And if I'm not sure, I'm not going to say anything. But I do know when I hear from him, and I'm not afraid to speak it. I said, I don't know how he's going to do it. I have no idea. All I know is, in praying and talking to God about it, he let me know in the spirit, you won't go to jail. Well, God erased the first two. That was the first offense. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you what, however God does it, that's all right. Because he's the one that takes care of every situation. And he's the one that I want to put my trust in. Can we be sensitive to the Spirit and obey the Spirit? Romans 8:14, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. That scripture alone proves there's growth and development in becoming a son of the living God. Amen. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. I'm going to do a wind down with this scripture. 1 Corinthians 12:28. The Bible said, and God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. What's he saying? First the ministry, first the preaching, first the teaching, first the word of God. Then he said, after that, miracles, healings, helps, governments, diversities of tongues. After what? The ministry, the preaching and teaching of the word of God. When I was using that in a message here a while back, I pulled out most every scripture where Jesus sent the disciples out. And every one of them said this, as you go preach, Matthew 10:7-8 is one of them. As you go preach saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, then you heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely receive, freely give. But my point was, everywhere God sent forth, he sent us forth to preach, and then the miracles. Mark 16:20, they went and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word with signs following. That's God's word. After that, miracles. I tell the church where I preach, I said, look, you don't have to, if you don't have the Holy Ghost, you don't have to wait for an altar call, someone beat on you. You can have the Holy Ghost while the word of God's going forth. Amen. And we've seen it happen. And I tell them, you need healing, you don't have to wait. I know James 5:14-15, all that. I know it's there and it's God's plan. But sometimes God deviates from that plan if we got the faith. In other words, let me give an example on that real quick. We was preaching in South Chicago back years ago, and a blizzard hit big time, everything stopped. Everything sealed in. I am upstairs over the auditorium. That's where we're staying. Pastor's, parsonage, whatever you want to call it, was up there. And that was the morning. Well, it snowed all afternoon, all that day, I think, and all night. I know it was bad. But he got a telephone call. All I could hear is one side of the conversation. And, yes, sister. Yeah? Okay. Well, what do you want to do? Or what do you want us to do? What do you want to do? Okay. All right, we're going to pray. He hung up the phone. He said, Sister so-and-so, listen, this Plains, Illinois. Lord, that was 40 miles from where we're at. You couldn't even get along with snowshoes very good. How are you going to go lay hands on that child? Her baby had 103 temperature, a little child. That's when God said, just speak the word. So we went to prayer. And I felt victory. Pick it up after our prayer meeting, called her back. Temperature's fine as normal. Hallelujah. So I'm telling you, there are examples where we cannot get to them, or they can get to us to anoint them with oil and pray. And that's one example. There's many. But think about what God is doing in these last days. He's wanting to perform the miraculous in our lives. In every direction you look, He's wanting to do it. That's why we need to be sensitive to the Spirit. That's what I'm saying. Hallelujah. Sis Nona Freeman was over in Africa. They spent their life in Africa, actually. She just passed away, incidentally, a few weeks ago, maybe a month or two ago. And in her 90s. But her and her husband did a work in Africa. They was over there most all their lives. And many, many miracles she left in testimonies. We have a lot of her tapes, some CDs of that precious sister and her testimonies. And what it was, she's washing dishes. They're living in Africa, okay, born missionaries. And the Lord speaks to her. I said, in a few minutes, there's going to be a car coming down the road. Well, the road's just a dusty road. Just goat trails, I call them. Philippines, a lot of them like that, foreign countries. Said, a car's going to be coming down the road. And so you go out and get on the porch. You see it coming. And when it gets close enough, you can see the driver start smiling and waving. She didn't question God. She just dried her hands, walked down the front porch. She seen the dust a ways off, and here come the car. And when it got close enough to her, she could see the image of the man driving. She began to smile and wave. He looked at her. She's waving and waving through the back window. He didn't stop or anything. She went back and finished the dishes. This fellow seen her not long after that. He said, I want to tell you something. You don't know why that you was waving and smiling at me, but I do. I was on my way that morning to commit suicide. I was going to end it all. Because I didn't figure I had a friend or nobody in this world that even cared anything about me. And I drive by your house and you're smiling and waving at me. Needless to say, I didn't commit suicide. See, God knows every situation. And when we can obey the voice of the Lord. Now, I'm not telling you that's the easiest thing you ever did in your life. We've all missed it, okay? But when God tells or shows me something, he's giving an example, he'll confirm it. Normally. He don't leave you hanging on a thread wondering. You know what I mean? But folks, God's going to use a church in this end time hour. Why shouldn't it be us? You know, brother, God's going to use a church, that's for sure. Ain't going to be a church here until the blast of the last trumpet. Okay? And I figure, well, I might as well be a part of it. I want to be a part of it. Praise God. Don't you all? Yes. Amen. Why should you and I settle for less when we can have the best? Hello? I'll give you a couple of testimonies. I could be here all night. Just give you a couple in closing. I'm talking about showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. Brother Babe Ruth pastored in Reagan, Tennessee, back in the 70s. I preached First Revival in 1972. Was there a month, 18, got the Holy Ghost, all kinds of miracles and healings. And I was not there when this happened. This happened before I even met Brother Babe Ruth, the pastor. But he showed me pictures. He got spider bit. And his leg swelled until it busted. They told him, said, you're nuts. You better go to a doctor, hospital. Of course, he totally trusted God. And God healed his leg. He's got pictures where it busted. But that's not the end of the story. The family and I, in 1980, children, some of them weren't married yet, and we're going to California. We're on our way in that large van, had a little utility trailer behind us. Brother Marvin Sellers, he's dead now, but he was a sign painter in Laurel, Mississippi, a friend of mine, pastored the church there for years, professional sign painter. Now, I bought one of the Easy Hauls. Remember the fiberglass Easy Haul body little trailers? If you remember, we bought one, had it painted nice, two-tone, and Brother Sellers lettered it for us, Apostolic Revivals, Acts 2:38, John 3:5, Acts 2:38, you know all this, Ephesians 4:5. And we're going through Wyoming, out in the middle of nowhere. Well, if I'd have known, they would had been such a distance between gasoline stations, believe me, I would have filled up the last station I passed. Now we're out in the middle of nowhere, and the gas needle is right down on E. And when I started driving years ago, I realized something. That does not mean enough. Believe me. So here we are, man. I'm praying. Lord, we're out in the middle of nowhere, man. Running out of gasoline. And all at once I seen a sign. A little goat trail off of the road we're traveling on. A sign said gasoline, had an airport. It's a cardboard sign someone painted on there. I said, all right, because, you know, something like that out there, you don't know what you're facing. But I went off that little goat trail, sure enough, around the corner, was a little jot 'em down store. Had two gas pumps. Because I pulled up and filled that joker up. I walked in to pay for it, and I never noticed this man sitting there leaning against the bill. I never noticed him. I walked in, paid for it, come out. He said, hey. I turned and looked, heavy set man. Had a chair leaning up against the building. He says, that what's going to take to go to heaven? He read Acts 2:38, John 3:5. I said, well, according to the scripture it is. Said, going to be a lot of people going to hell then. I said, yeah, you probably got that right. But listen to this. We're out in the middle of nowhere. He said, you know Pastor Babe Ruth, Reagan, Tennessee? I looked at him and I said, yeah. I preached revivals for him. He said, you know, a few years ago he got spider bit, like to lost his leg, and God healed him. I couldn't believe what I was hearing. I mean, number one, if it hadn't been on E, I wouldn't have pulled off on a goat trail to start with. You know? And number two, what's the chance of something like this happening when you're in the middle of nowhere? Now, I don't know if God has fat angels, and I hope he does, but I'm going to tell you what. I hadn't figured that one out yet. Praise God. I'm serious. Do you know Brother Babe Ruth? You know, we're always in a hurry. Traveling, always in a hurry, always in a hurry. And I look back a million times. I've looked back and I thought, you know, I should have just took it easy for a little while and began to ask him some questions. How did you know Brother Babe Ruth? You know, et cetera, et cetera. But I didn't. I was in a hurry after that, you know, got in and left. And I thought, wow, man, that was something. That wouldn't happen again in 5 trillion years, man. Impossible. But with God, Luke 1:37, all things are possible. Amen. So it's really amazing. You know, I've said before, you know, some animals have more sense than some humans. Dr. Freeman wrote out a testimony of these people had their pet dog and loved the little dog, of course, had him for a while. And he got sick. Well, they took him to the veterinarian, and the veterinarian snapped on him. You have polluted, you have contaminated my clinic. This dog's got distemper, and it's contaminating. I'm gonna have to wash it down. I'm gonna have to disinfect it. And he went off on him. He said, okay, I'll put it to sleep for you. So you're not putting Fido to sleep. We're taking him home praying for him. He's glad to get rid of him then. Listen to this. They took that dog home, and they didn't pray for him right off. He was there in the room with them. And they got down, and they had a prayer meeting, and they started speaking in tongues. And while they're speaking in tongues, they walked over and laid hands on that dog. God instantly healed it. And after that, every time they got in a prayer meeting and they got to speaking in tongues, that dog, remember, he'd come running and try to put his head under their hands. Whatever he felt, he remembered it connected with speaking in tongues. Praise God. I tell you what, that's awesome. Amen. Let's all stand and give our God a hand clap tonight. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Don't we praise Him for His mighty acts? Praise Him for His wonderful works. Praise Him that He's been so good to you and I. And all of our mistakes and blunders and shortcomings, God has helped us and had mercy and lifted us up in the time of need. I'm telling you, I got to hold to the book. When the trials are there, they're there, but I got to look beyond them and say, all right, there shall be showers of blessing. When I'm going through a place of despondency or whatever, I got to look beyond that and say, all right, God, you said it and I believe it. It may come tomorrow, if not the next day. There shall be showers of blessing. Hallelujah. And I am glad that God has ordained it to be that way. There shall be showers of blessing. There shall be showers of blessing. My God, if we believe it, like He said, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. We've seen God start a car, a wagon. Wasn't ours. Had a burn-up starter. God fired it up. You know, when the Lord's in it, it works. We don't go around trying to put on a show, none of us. But I tell you what, when God's there, brother, anointed, it works. Back in the early 70s, he lived in Henderson, Tennessee. Come out of a store, and there was a lady just right down from us, parts close here at the end of them pews. Hood was up to the car, and she started looking at it. So I walked over, and I said, ma'am, any way we could help you? It won't start. Checked the battery cables. They were tight. They weren't corroded. I thought, well, evidently it's not the battery, but I'll tell you what. I got a friend, because there's a brother in the church that ran a filling station with a tow truck and everything in those days there in Henderson. I said, if you want me to, he said, I'll get him and he can help you. I mean, if he has to tow it in there and whatever's wrong with it. She said, I'll be fine. But before I shut the hood, God said, get in and turn it on. Turn on the ignition. Well, I didn't know she knew what I was doing. I just turned around. The ignition was still, the key's still in the ignition. I just stood under the wheel, fired right up. I get around, shut the hood. She said, thank you. And she like, well, I didn't know her. But the testimony got back from some of the saints in church a few days later and said, she drove that car home, purred like a kitten. So but as soon as she got it parked in the driveway and shut it off, dead. Her husband was mechanically minded, and he come out, crawled in, and he said, well, the starter's burnt up. She said, well, I think that guy was a preacher, and he probably prayed for it. Praise God. Amen. Of course, I didn't actually pray for it. God just spoke to me to go start it. That's what I did. Amen. But I'm glad it works, aren't you? I'm glad I've got a God I can trust. Amen. A God that won't let you down. Amen. He won't con you nor take you to the cleaners. Always gives us a better end of the bargain. Amen. God bless you. I love you. Amen. My brother, it's yours. Thanks, folks. God bless your heart. If you want to pray tonight before the service closed, the altar's open. Amen. God can touch you and do something for you. Lord bless you. Praise God. Hallelujah.